Hello and welcome back to Talking Europe. It's known as the Nordic model, a strong welfare state, protection of workers through collective bargaining, good pension schemes and low levels of poverty. This system has gone hand in hand with progressive approaches to things like gender equality and paternity as well as maternity leave. But this social model has come under pressure from trends affecting Europe as a whole in recent years. COVID debt, inflation, the cost of living crisis, the demands of the green transition, and some would say pressure from migration as well. We're going to discuss all of that with our panelists from Sweden, Denmark and Finland as part of this series on groups of countries or regions within the EU. So I'm very pleased to welcome Karen Melchior, a Danish MEP from Renew Europe, Heidi Hautala, a Finnish MEP from the Group of the Greens, and Sara Wittadal, a Swedish MEP from the European People's Party, who is now independent. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Heidi, so we've seen in Finland these protests in the last few months against Labour rules being reformed. Has austerity come to Finland?
Well, I think the problem now is that the government insists on structural reforms in order to reduce public debt. But the way they do it at the moment is that they reduce social security from those who are already very vulnerable, single parents, students, and others living in precarious conditions, because they want everybody to take full-time employment. But where are those jobs? They are not there. And I would say that compared with Sweden, Finland could have much more, let's say, aspiration to have part-time working. So the main thing is that people can take even short-term jobs. But now the government's measures are not making this very much helpful. And the second thing is that they question the tripartite model now, which has been like the basis of the Finnish Nordic welfare model, that the government and the parliament wants now to take over in many respects. And that has led to a situation where the labour unions are striking.
Karen, how true does that ring from the situation that you know in Denmark?
I think it's a debate that we've also had in Denmark. There is a lot of push for especially student financing to be more loan-based in Denmark, where it's been grants, and also to try and push people faster through the education system and have shorter periods of flexibility and security in the flexicurity model. Yeah. And I think the lack of investment in the people in the margins of the employment market and the lack of support for everybody that wants an education is actually going to undermine having a strong social and educational model, because if you don't have trust that you will be supported if you're taking a longer education, or if you do not trust that you will have support if you lose your job, we lose the flexibility and we lose the educated workforce that has been our strong point for decades.
Yeah, and Sarah, in Sweden we've seen these so-called Tesla strikes as well. What do you make of that and the impact of that on the social model in Sweden?
Well, I think that the social model, of course, is going to adapt to the challenges of today in many ways. And I would say that there are many ways that the social model in Sweden is pressured from different directions, both in the opportunity to finance it, having too many people outside of the labour market in Sweden, partly due to migration, but also due to other things, is of course one big challenge. But also I see that here we are members of the European Parliament. We see that the social model in Sweden is also pressured from the ambitions from the European Union to streamline our welfare systems. And I think that has been seen as one of the a large threat towards the labour market model that we have in
And you've
in my
called
country.
Instead for a competitive social market economy instead of streamlining, haven't you?
I think that is more beneficial, and I think it's better to deal with this on a national level rather than have a streamlined EU system with a one-size-fits-all solution.
Okay. Now, just to give you an illustration of social spending, so this is figures from the OECD for Finland, Sweden and Denmark, the three Nordics that we're talking about. This is a combination of spending on benefits and things like tax breaks to help the more disadvantaged households, let's say. And we can see in this graphic that actually only Finland makes it to the top five in terms of social spending. So 29% of GDP going on social spending as of 2022. Denmark in eighth place and Sweden in 11th place. So when you look at that, Karen, do you think we can even talk about a Nordic social model? Is this now kind of a bit out of date even to talk about that?
I think the spend is not defining the model. It's not how much you spend, but how you spend it. The flexicurity model of the Scandinavian and Nordic countries is what defines the model. It's not the amount of money that we spend. Because if you look at France, for example, that is the top spender. It does not have a lot of trust in the negotiated solutions for the employment market. And there are a lot of marginalized groups in France. So it's not how you spend the money. It's not what you spend, but it's how you spend it.
Mm. Now, Sarah Wietedal mentioned migration as one of the factors in all these discussions about the welfare state. And that's an important part of our discussion as well here. So just to lead us into that, I'd like us to all to take a listen to one of your colleagues here, one of your colleagues in this chamber, Charlie Weimers, who's a Swedish ECR, and he was interviewed by our reporter Clovis Casali in Sweden. Let's take a listen to this.
I would listen very carefully to what the Danish Social Democrats say when they are defending their strict migration policies. They say that if we allow migration to become too big, it will mean a lack of social cohesion, which is the basis for any welfare state. So in order to keep taxpayers motivated, the taxpayers need to feel that it's not, you know, going to sustain a lifestyle of being out of work.
Karen, so you've got a Swedish ECR basically seemingly praising the Danish Social Democrats. That's a quite a slightly strange situation, isn't it?
Well, that's because the Danish Social Democrats have adopted the policies of the Danish party that was before in the ECR and is now in the ID group. And they have been trying to, since 2015 especially, been trying to defeat a political party by adopting their policies. This does not make the policy more correct. Just as repeating that the social welfare model in Denmark is under threat because of migrants and refugees does not make it more correct. We need to make people trust that the social system will provide for them and their families today and in the future, and not allow politicians to go for the easy solution of scapegoating migrants.
So some would say, I guess, that he was scapegoating them by saying that taxpayers need to make sure that they're not sustaining a lifestyle of people being out of work. Sarah Wietedal, what do you make of that?
Well, I agree completely with my Swedish colleague that, of course, the problem here is twofold, both that a high level of migration puts pressure on the welfare system and makes it hard to finance this over time, but also that if we don't regulate it and have a stricter level of access to welfare for people that aren't yet part of our society fully and contributing, I think it's also going to be a huge pull factor and contribute to unsustainable migration situation in Europe over time.
Hey, do you have to let your reaction to all that?
Well, I completely disagree because Finland is a good example that the ECR party from Finland, the Finnish party, is now very much ideologically directing the Finnish migration policy. And the corporate world is horrified because we need more migrants. The Finnish society is one of the, if not the most aging population in Europe, in the OECD countries, which means that we need labour force, we need migration. And if we have this type of approach, we will not get anybody to come here.
The argument there is that some of the people mentioned are out of work, so
no.
Therefore when you're saying they're we need them in the labour force. If they're not actually in the labour force, then
they would be made part of the labour force, of course.
But we're
and that's
failing
a question
on
of integration. Well, maybe you are, but I think that's what Finland needs to do. And the Finnish government at the moment is completely on the wrong track.
You could also say that by marginalizing people even further, that's not going to include them into the workforce. You need to make sure that the employment market is open and available for all members of society, flexible, and that we make sure that people are able to acquire the competences that they need to contribute to society.
So what about in the election campaign? I guess this is going to be a big issue because in Sweden there is a confidence and supply agreement between the Sweden Democrats and the coalition government. How do you think this is all going to play out in the campaign?
Well, I think it's a key factor for the current government in Sweden and to make this work, both to have a sustainable migration policy, which doesn't make Sweden one of the top countries to seek asylum in the European Union, but also to have a system where it isn't more beneficial to stay in the welfare systems than to actually go into the labor market. And we've seen that we have had the wrong incentives historically in the Swedish welfare system, and this needs to be adjusted to the reality that we have with the high levels of migration that has been unsustainable for a long time.
And just briefly, Heidi Hautala, if you could, on the election campaign and the impact that you think the party of the Finns is going to have on this whole debate.
I hope it will have some impact because we need to discuss how the European Union can also favour labour-based migration and how Finland can make the best use out of labour-based migration without, of course, forgetting that we have our duties towards asylum seekers. But I also very much believe that the good integration of asylum seekers, refugees, can be turned into a labour force as well.
We'll have to end it there. We've run out of time. Thank you so much to my guests, Karen Melchior, Heidi Hautala and Sara Uitedal. And thanks to our viewers for joining us for this episode of Europe Votes.